KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
They pop out and they're really alert. Early birds, literally early birds, if you hear them, they're up at dawn. I always think
of the pre-dawn.
Because I'm up at pre-dawn. I think of you know, people who pledge on the first day as the little robins of the spring pledge drive. You're really alert, and you're pecking away, 543-9595. So you can be like the robin instead of the worm that's going to get caught at the end. Nancy Pearl's coming in. She's going to talk about books. We're going to talk about Olympia with Jerry Kornfield. Nancy called from Burien. She loves Weekday and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Me too, Nancy.
Shows with W's.
If you like shows that start with W, we'd like to hear from you.
You know, I like that metaphor of the early bird, but I also, the folks who call early, they're like the little pebbles that start an avalanche. Mm-hmm. And an avalanche of support, because you're starting it out. You're getting it rolling by calling 1-866-677-5869, because you're, you know, you're getting it out of the way. You know it's important. You know that you help move this service along. You help carry the load of bringing new high-quality news and information to the region so that many people can listen. Now we're saying to you, you could be one of those people. Help carry the load.
You might have pledged last spring, and, you know, it's an annual pledge unless you became an Evergreen member, so it's time to renew that pledge. Or maybe you want to be like Crystal, who pledged in Portland, Oregon. Crystal became a new member of this radio service. She's been listening for a while, maybe online at KUOW.org, and she decided she wanted to pitch in and help support it. You know, like, you've seen those little flocks of birds. You can be like the public radio bird. We have a thousand great thank you gifts, including, you know, brand new T-shirt. There's earbuds. I don't even have the list.
You know what I like? I like your bird metaphor, so I'm going to continue it if I may.
Because you love birds.
I do love the birds.
You love the birds.
Evergreen memberships, where you pledge and you say, okay, let's keep this going. $10 a month, $120 a year is a minimum. You're like the swallows returning to Capistrano. You're like the birds that go south and then return north in the spring. You're like the widgeons that come through and then head up north. That's you when you're an Evergreen member, a returning member of KUOW. Get it done once. It renews until you cancel it, and it happens.
So people who become members of the broadcast circle are sort of like flamingos?
The flamingos, you know, of public radio.
You can be a flamingo at the $1,000 level. You know, you got that pink plumage. I think of you as a happy public radio bird at no matter what your pledge level, whether it's an Evergreen membership, whether it's a renewing membership or a gift membership. There's a lots of levels and thank you gifts. And we have a room full of volunteers who say, we love Weekday. We love public radio. We're here at KUOW to talk to you, our fellow public radio lovers, who call 206-543-9595 or 1-866-677-5869. We have a goal of $11,000 by 11 a.m. We've got $4,600 to raise.
We can do that.
With one pledge at a time.
From bush tits to kingfishers to great blue herons to eagles.
We are all part of
the same flock. Even pterodactyls, perhaps. 206-543-9595-1-866-677-5869. Join the flock, my feathered friends, and show your support to public radio at KUOW.org.
Maybe you're a toucan, and you know, precious and few are the moments we toucans share.
Oh,
so
my
share
gosh.
A moment now. 206-543-9595.
Support for KUOW comes from the Institute for Systems Biology, presenting challenges and opportunities for demystifying the brain at Town Hall at 7 p.m. on April 3rd, Dr. Lee Hood leads a panel discussion with scientists and researchers. More at systemsbiology.org.
52 degrees in Seattle. Sky is cloudy. That should change later. We're expecting mostly sunny afternoon with a high of 63. Support for NPR comes from Constant Contact, committed to helping small businesses and nonprofits stay connected to customers using email marketing. Learn more at constantcontact.com. 10:09, I'm Bernard Ouellette, KUOW 94.9 Seattle.
I will be a proud participant in the continued payment of investment in our schools through this beautiful amber nectar of the gods.
I'm one of those people who believes that reading is one of those things that that make us a better person because it expands our world.
Jay Inslee raising a glass of beer to a beer tax. Nancy Pearl about how reading expands our world. She'll be with us in a little bit. We start by taking a look at what's happening in Olympia. By the way, Bernard, too, can play at that game, and I shall work on some for over the course of this hour. The big news in Olympia last week was Governor Inslee's budget proposal. This week, well, we'll see. Jerry Kornfield is a reporter and columnist covering the state legislature for the Everett Herald. Jerry, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you for taking the time and making this happen.
Well, good morning. I appreciate it. I'm glad you didn't transition from the discussion of dinosaurs to me. But I'm ready.
Well, we all could handle that. We all would be part of that transition. All right. Governor Inslee kicks off a real budget debate now. $1.2 billion in education spending. He proposed getting rid of a lot of tax breaks and getting two temporary taxes made permanent. How was that received? How's that shaken out this week in Olympia?
Well, it's a little too soon to see how it's going to shake out completely. I think the reaction was generally the same today as it was last week. Thank you, Governor, for giving us your priorities. And if you're a Democrat in the House, you're probably thanking him for pushing the envelope a little bit farther to the left than your caucus needs to go. I mean, by putting so many tax breaks on the table, he's probably made it easier for the House Democratic Caucus to write a budget with with fewer tax breaks and a couple of less politically hot ones in the list and look pretty good when their proposal comes out. The Senate's going to put out their proposal this week, maybe as early as tomorrow. They're vowing to do it without any closing of any major tax breaks or any new taxes. So, those are going to be the two bookends. Inslee on one end, the Senate Majority Coalition on the other, and the House Democrats will probably be in the middle.
That's going to be very interesting to see them do that without any additional revenue. Any inkling of how they're going to do that?
I don't have any good sense of how they're going to get to the numbers they say they can get to. There's a shortfall they have to get rid of, as well as put some money into schools. However, the Senate Majority Coalition leaders have repeatedly said the McCleary decision involving the funding for public schools, it's more than money. It's also reforms. And so their number, I think, will be less, maybe even half of what the governor put forward in his proposal. And then if you put in half as much, then you don't really have to, close any major tax breaks or make any taxes permanent. If I had to bet today what's going to happen on, say, April 27th or 28th at the end of the session, I think they will make permanent the increase in taxes on the lawyers, accountants, professionals. That's that you're going to hear talked about, a surcharge on the B&O tax. Bottom line, some professional services are going to be paying more, I think, permanently. And that may be the linchpin to getting a deal when it's all said and done.
Isn't an estate tax up for some discussion, and wouldn't that bring in a lot of money too?
Well, there are two taxes. That's one, the estate tax, and there's one involving telecommunications, in which they've landed in court. The courts essentially said the state's way of doing things was wrong, but they left the door open for the state legislature to write a bill that would make the corrections and allow them to continue to put a tax on the estates, and as well as dealing with telecommunications. And both of those have, I think, enough support in the House and Senate that they could pass. In that regard, I guess the Senate Majority Coalition could count on money from those tax breaks. They'll call them judicial reforms. They'll call them legislation to correct mistakes. They'll try to avoid using the word taxes, but those are what those will end up being.
Speaking of doors being open, Jerry Kornfield, they could get some of these issues passed because they don't have to meet the two-thirds threshold right now since the court overruled it. I imagine that'll be put back in place by the supporters of it, or at least an attempt there. Is that one of the things driving this discussion right now, that they only need a simple majority to deal with the taxes and the tax breaks?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think in the House it looks easier. You still have to get at least 50 votes, to make it pass, and that's still a tough sell. Any kind of tax is a tough sell. It doesn't matter if it's two-thirds or simple majority. So politically, it's still difficult. It will just be mathematically a little easier in the House because they have, you know, the numbers in one caucus, the Democratic caucus. The Senate will be more difficult to get to that point, and I think that's why you're going to see very few tax breaks closed and maybe one of the two temporary taxes made permanent. Because I do think you can find a simple majority in the Senate for a handful of these measures in the end. Not tomorrow when their budget comes out, but in the end.
So the Senate Majority Coalition expected to release their budget this week. You also said that the House Education Committee is going to have a hot meeting on Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, it's Wednesday. Just jumping ahead, Wednesday is a deadline for all the non-budget policy bills, and Tuesday the House Education has a number of bills that deal with education reform. What's going to happen in the classrooms? Can principals decide whether or not to keep teachers and send them to the schools, or can they fire and hire the ones they want? There's other policies dealing with third grade reading requirements that could lead to students being flunked later. There's another that would take over, have the state literally take over bad or persistently failing school districts where their test scores are low. And so those bills are sort of, they're in front of the House Education Committee, and if they don't get acted on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, then they won't pass. And they've been kind of hot button issues for the Senate. So I think they need to move in some form if there's going to be a deal at the end on the budget.
Because the Senate Majority Coalition passed those.
They passed them, and they sent them over, and the House now needs to act on them. I mean, they could be tied to the budget because there's money involved, but most folks feel like they have to come out of this policy committee before Wednesday to have any chance to make it to the finish line.
Well, speaking of that, right now there's a meeting on the Reproductive Parity Act, and you're saying it doesn't appear that'll get out of committee? What's happening?
Well, that's one of those issues where, you know, maybe you trade it, if you will. The Senate, the majority of members in the Senate, at least on this committee, don't want this bill. This is a bill that puts in law if a health insurance provider covers maternity services, they also must cover abortions. Now, today in Washington, that's not a problem. All the plans cover it. But this bill is not liked by the majority of members on this committee, but they are holding a hearing, and it is possible they could take it to the floor and vote on it in the Senate. The governor wants it. The House Democratic majority wants it. Again, it's one of those bills that it's a policy that the Republicans don't like, but they may have to allow it to move forward if they want to get ahead on their key issues about jobs and education.
Is that the same sort of dynamic that's at play with the DREAM Act? That's a Democrat-sponsored bill. Undocumented immigrant students would be eligible for state financial aid?
Exactly. And although that one, I think, is doomed, the chair of the Higher Ed Committee told me in an interview Friday, and then she wrote something that appeared online, essentially saying the state can't afford it. It would allow more students to be eligible for state financial aid, and right now the state can't even provide financial aid to all the students who are on the list. So everybody who is a legal citizen can't get money, and to add a few more who are here illegally, she says that this wouldn't be fair. It'd be a hollow promise. And they have not scheduled. They have a committee hearing tomorrow. They have not scheduled a vote on the bill. And so it's looking like it's not going to pass out of this committee. Again, because it's involving money technically with the higher ed, someone could pull it out last minute and stick it in the budget, but at this stage, it looks like it's not going anywhere.
How does higher ed look right now? Is higher ed going to get its money, or are we going to see more increase in more tuition?
Well, that's an interesting question because the governor's the proposal would increase tuition, and if folks remember, the state is back in charge of setting tuition rates. They tried to get out of the business, but voters said, no, you've got to set it. So he's proposing higher tuition. The Senate majority coalition leaders are supporting lower tuition. So I don't know where it's going to end up with higher ed. They're probably going to get dollars and cents more money in the next budget than they are in the current budget. Whether that's enough for them to avoid tuition hikes, it doesn't look like it at this point. And I think if you ask the president of the University of Washington or Washington State University, they'd say, we don't want to raise tuition, but it's the only way we can keep paying our bills, staying competitive, and you know, fighting for those research grants that come in and really bring some money into schools.
All right, sir. See, far from a dinosaur. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Jerry Kornfield is a reporter and columnist covering the state legislature for the Everett Herald, bringing us up to date on what's happening in Olympia this week. Lots of stuff happening in Olympia, and you get a lot of great coverage of what's happening in Olympia on this show, on The Conversation, all throughout the day through the news. You help support an Olympia Bureau as part of the Northwest News Network. Mm-hmm. Austin Jenkins, who was quoted in the paper yesterday. I like how they say TVW's Austin Jenkins. Let's not forget.
He's Northwest News Network, N3's Austin Jenkins, KUOW's Austin Jenkins. If you like the fact that politicians make this a stop on the circuit, we've heard from the governor, we hear from the mayor of Seattle.
We hear from people who are declaring or not declaring to run for mayor.
We talk to city council members, to county council members in the Puget Sound region. If it's important to you to hear those voices, to have access to folks who are making policy decisions for you, we're asking you to help pay for it. And Steve, there is a reason that would be a great time for you to call is that we have a challenge from members of our broadcaster circle. They have put up $1,000 to encourage 10 of you to call 543-9595 and pledge $100 each.
Oh, that should happen right away.
Well, we need the phones to ring for that to happen.
That should happen right away because $100, double your money, you're getting a lot of value for that. You know, you early birds, this is the moment. Call and check this off your list. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869, or online, kuow.org. We need to hear from you. This is a great time to do it. And, you know, you pay now, you listen, you know you'll feel different.
Genevieve called from Tacoma and renewed her pledge. She says, I listen to NPR while I work in my art studio. Maybe you work in a lab. I know there are a lot of scientists who listen to public radio while they're making great and groundbreaking discoveries. We're asking you right now, if you haven't called 543-9595, be one of the 10 people to pledge at the $100 level right now and help us capture this challenge, this $1,000 extra from a member of our broadcaster circle. You might want to become a member of the broadcaster circle, pledging at $1,000 or above, or just help take advantage of the challenge. You can be one of the many little bush tits who are flying around.
I know I should not do this because of the images of last time, but when you said the word capture the challenge, now the challenge is like many birds, and we are chasing after them with a net, swooping down and capturing the challenge. Capturing your phone calls at 206-543-9595. You're in a net of public radio, all twittering happily.
I want to hear.
Soon you'll be banned.
I want to hear from folks who live in my neck of the woods who are maybe among the Merlin lovers. And I'm not talking about Merlin the sorcerer. I'm talking about the family of Merlin hawks that live in North Seattle. And maybe I happened to see some fledglings last year.
Cool.
Very cool. So maybe you are a raptor maniac and as well as a public radio lover. Swoop on in, 543-9595, and take advantage of the 8 opportunities left to pledge at the $100 level.
206-543-9595. You know, you listen to all these stories. You listen to Al Gore. You listen to Jerry Kornfield. I suppose you could put a dollar value on each story. Say, well, how much is that worth? Is that worth a quarter? Is that worth a dollar? I listened for 365 days.
$365.
Yeah. There's a way to put a value on it. And then you reach for the phone. Or you pull it out of your pocket, or you, I don't know, you do it through your computer and you Skype us. 206-543-95. Of course.
I feel like we're watching the pledge room through Skype.
We have a camera that shows us what the tally is, and it looks like it's one of those movies where it's a horror movie and everything's a little jittery.
We need to raise $4,590 by 11 a.m. I think they haven't updated it in a while, so we'll give you an updated tally soon. We have 6 more opportunities, 666 to pledge at the $100 level. You know, be like a bat, 543-9595.
Give us a call. Thanks.
KUOW would like to acknowledge the businesses that have donated food and beverages for our volunteers during our pledge drive, especially Chocolopolis, Terra Organics, and Cabot Creamery Cooperative. Thank you for supporting KUOW.
Thank you very much for supporting KUOW. Nancy Pearl is here on April 1st. It's good to see you, Nancy Pearl.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm so glad you're here. You know, April 1st, I was trying to think of an April Fool's joke to do. And I don't know if Ashley Ahern did a wonderful story about macaques being reintroduced into the Cascade Mountains, which was probably not true, because there was a discussion about, you know, how what would Bigfoot eat. But I don't know. Perhaps it was true. But we were thinking we'll do an April Fool's joke, because we thought there are so many cocktails being crafted out of different unique ingredients. We thought like a coconut cream pie flavored margarita that we thought, oh, this or here's one, a Fortnite cocktail, Beefeater gin, apricot brandy, Dolin white vermouth, and creme de violet, creme de violette. We thought, all right. And you stir all that and you have it in a chilled cocktail glass. We thought, all right, so, you know, you have cocktails with handcrafted bitters, or there's healthy cocktails. Somebody makes a fojito, three or four mint leaves, lime wedge, an ounce of rum, and then diet lemon lime soda and just a little sugar. So we thought, all right, we could come up with some goofy cocktail ideas. And we thought, well, what about, like, you know, everybody's using meat and things. So what about what do we have? A vodka on the chicken stock rocks.
Oof.
Like, you know, chicken stock vodka, and then maybe it would be a deep fried chicken foot coming out with holding a feather. We thought, oh, that would be great. You know, that would be a funny April Fool's bit, right? Because people would go, oh, that's gross. That can't be real. So, but we thought we would do a little research first.
Good idea.
So guess what? We thought that was weird, right? So guess what? Here's what's being made now. Bacon and mezcal margarita. Mezcal infused with bacon for 24 hours in a chipotle simple syrup, lemon juice, served over ice with a splash of ginger ale. They're serving that. Maybe a martini, three olives stuffed with cured meats. How's that sound?
Oh, no.
Smoked Bloody Mary. It has a vodka infused with tomato and pepper, a swizzle stick of jerky, and then a ball of blue cheese rolled in cashews wrapped in salami.
Ugh.
So we thought, all right, I mean, we couldn't top it.
No.
Right? How could we top that?
No, right.
I thought you could do like a true Bloody Mary. Nobody would believe, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Guess what? There's a goth bar in New York where they serve a little blood in their bloody.
No.
Yes.
Is
yeah.
It? Oh, gee.
And then I thought, all right, what's going to be over the top? What will be totally over the top? And I thought, well, okay, how about, like, right now everything is like organ meats in eating. You watch Bourdain, you watch some of those shows, it's all organ meats. So I thought, all right, well, maybe there's a like placenta cocktail. Nobody believed that would be good for that. Because, you know, people use placentas, they fry them, they eat them, they plant them under a tree. Placenta cocktails. Happening. I kid you.
Yeah,
kid you not. All right, so how about the sweet breads and sweet liqueurs? That would be, people would not have accepted that one. Being done. All right, so I figured out, here's one. Brain. Nobody's using brain. Human brain, there's no brain being used in a cocktail. Andrew Zimmern, Bizarre Foods. He drank a brain margarita, triple sec, tequila, lime, froth of blend of human brain. There is just no way of topping the real world.
No, there isn't. How? It's impossible.
All right. There's that. I share that with you.
That's both cheering and terribly depressing.
Yes. And some of that I made up. Okay. It's good to see you here on this April 1st.
It's good to be here on
with
April 1st.
With your Coke, with your Diet Coke.
With my Diet Coke.
And we were
little froth of brains.
Little froth of brains. Diet Coke and brain. There's a drink. Now, we were thinking, we had these two good ideas, and we thought, well, since we're breaking them up, we break Nancy up into two parts and pitch in between, we thought we'd try it, because one sort of leads into the other.
Mm-hmm.
So what book would you memorize? Sort of spurred by Fahrenheit 451, right? And the destruction of books and the characters in the novel were the books. That's what I loved about that book and the movie. I loved that they became the book. So is there a book you would memorize? You personally? Do you have a book you would memorize if you had to?
Well, you know, me personally?
You personally,
madam.
Oh,
it would be so hard.
Before I throw it open to the listener.
I'm really interested in this because I had never thought of it this way. And then I was sitting next to a woman on the bus and she said, Have you ever thought about if we lived in the world of Fahrenheit 451, what book would you memorize? And I just could not think. I mean, it was just a huge assignment. I could not, you know, maybe the Oxford Book of American Poetry or something like that. But then I said to her, what book would you memorize? And she said, oh, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. So, boy, that's a hard task. So I posted it on Facebook and Twitter yesterday, that same thing, and I got tons of great answers.
Share a few with us. And then, folks, you also need to call at the other number, which I know you can have two numbers in your head at one time. So books you would memorize, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869, or email us weekday at kuow.org. What did you get on Facebook and Twitter?
Pride and Prejudice.
Whew. I mean, like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, Pride and Prejudice. So you have to be pretty good.
But it would be, I think, at least you would chuckle a lot during it while you were memorizing it. Horton Hears a Who, and then this person said, oh, wait, I've already memorized that one. Kurt Vonnegut's A Man Without a Country.
Really? A Man Without a Country? They went for that Vonnegut story.
Mary Oliver's New and Selected Poems. Lois Lowry's The Giver. Aren't those good?
Yeah.
And somebody else said The Hobbit. And then somebody said all of them.
All of them. Well, I don't think you'd be able to. You'd be too hard. Hard to do too many of them.
Listen to this. Leaves of Grass or To the Lighthouse?
So, To the Lighthouse is Virginia Woolf, right?
Right. Yeah. The Master and Margarita by Bulgakov. That is one of the best dark humor, dark books.
How long would it...
Like Catch-22, sorry.
How long would it take somebody to recite a book? Like Catch-22. Somebody started, take a week, Catch-22? I mean, we'd have to break, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have to take a little time off.
And we do that for... James Joyce.
That's right. So. I think we should start having people memorize books and then recite them to us at different locations throughout the year.
We always have such good ideas when we're
for
on
other
the
people.
Show together for other people, right? Oh, this is the second person who said To the Lighthouse, To Kill a Mockingbird, Betsy and Tacy Go Downtown. Yes.
Who wrote that?
I love the Betsy Tacy books, Maude Hart Lovelace.
Are they older?
Mm-hmm.
I do not know the Betsy and Tacy book.
I think they were published in the maybe 60s. I think they were published, but they're set in the first two decades of the 20th century in a small town in Minnesota, which is really Mankato, Minnesota.
Nobody's tossing out the Bible, the Quran.
Not yet. Les Miserables.
Les Miserables. What about like any of the Greeks?
Nope. Wouldn't you think maybe we'd want to assign people that? Because like the Apology, Plato's Apology.
Yeah, we're going to need to have the entire culture sort of replicated in people's minds.
Right.
There'll be whole families of people who would just, this is your job.
Yeah.
From father to son, from mother to daughter.
Right. Well, that's what they did with the Iliad.
Yeah.
And the Odyssey.
Yeah, we'll just be back to an oral culture.
Yeah.
Come here, you got to learn Horton Hears a Who.
Sit down until you memorize this book. You can't read anything else till this one is memorized.
Alfred Bester's The Stars My Destination.
Oh, that's a good book.
We could have a whole science fiction quarter.
We could.
Of people memorizing science fiction books.
We could. I love The Stars My Destination, and it's back in print. It has been out of print for a long time.
I suppose if you had to make the choices, people would remove some authors from the list. But I mean, that I wouldn't want to be the one making that choice.
That would be hard because they wouldn't be available otherwise. Yeah. And so who are
you? So that's a trashy novelist. We're not going to memorize that one. Well, that's no good.
Yeah.
Poorly written books. Maybe they'll be.
I wouldn't want to be the one to memorize them.
Yeah, that's right. But who decides, anyways, the poorly written book?
The librarians.
The librarians.
Not the poorly written books, but the librarians should. I mean, we could be like
the rise of the librarians.
Right. We could be like a living. Well, I don't like the Dewey Decimal System way of arranging libraries, particularly, but assuming it's still around, we could have like a living Dewey Decimal System library and. You could meet people because of how you're shelved. Like if you put all the science. I mean, it would be great. It would be better than any of those online dating things because you already have a basic thing you love to read.
Do you know if anyone, Nancy Pearl, has started memorizing? Well, I guess we have met some people who have memorized books just to memorize them. She knew Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah. Well, I think if you read those, if you read children's books enough to your children, picture books, like I think at one time, this is an easy one to memorize, but Where the Wild Things Are is a good one to memorize.
So that would be it. Our future culture would all be based on Dr. Seuss and yes. Maurice Sendak and
right.
P.J.
Right.
Hoff. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
Right.
Well, I do not like green eggs and ham.
But the Dr. Seuss that not a lot of people read, because everybody reads The Cat in the Hat and all of that, is To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street.
Oh, great bush.
And
great bush.
Isn't that a great book?
Yeah.
And Bartholomew, The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins.
McGillicuddy's Pool.
Yeah, right.
There are many a great Dr. Seuss that would have to be in that pantheon. What book would you memorize, Marcy Soman? Do you have a book you'd memorize?
Canterbury Tales.
All right.
One that a prayer with a shore, the throat of marsh hath perished to the root. I had to memorize
it. Yes, so did I.
The whole thing?
Just the prelude.
No, the prelude. Marcy, Michigan won.
Yay.
Go blue.
Go blue. Sorry, we have to talk about the Final Four.
That's fine. 206-543-5869. What book would you memorize? We have a few minutes on this before we start reminding you that you have to support public radio through your dollars. 1-800-289-5869. Share the book you'd memorize. Teresa says, Alice in Wonderland, most fun book ever. Now, are there books that would be very hard to memorize? Like, how about Canterbury Tales? Might be a little hard to memorize the whole thing.
The whole thing, yes. It would be very hard.
I mean, the language is a little hard to, you know, wrap your head around at some point.
I had a LP collection of Alice in Wonderland that I used to play on a record player when I was little. It was some great British actor who had read the book. Sort of like those Harry Potter books right. on tape where right. they have these fabulous, fabulous performers. That does help you to memorize when you hear it.
I think Garcia Marquez, somebody suggested 1,000 years. I always exaggerate everything. Someone said 100 years of solitude. That's what he would memorize. That would be so hard because you couldn't, you know, those long sentences would be very hard to take. Where do you breathe?
The greatest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, my
A novel
gosh.
By Don Robinson.
Oh, who is this person? This person I have got to meet and just have
Julie Yamamoto. She will be happy to. She said the voice was so smart. For being read aloud. In spite of myself, I have already memorized line after wonderful line.
It is a fabulous book. You just have to go get that book. It's based on a true event in East Cleveland that occurred in the 1940s, where a big gas explosion, and a little boy whose life is changed on that day.
Wow.
And he's pulling his baby sister in a wagon, like one of those radio flyers. Is that what
sure.
So you have memorized it already.
Oh, it's such a good book. Julie, thank you.
Got a book from a local author. I'm on my way to memorizing it. I've read it 4 times. Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson. Whoa, 1,700 pages.
That's another good book. I want to meet all these people. Couldn't we have like a meeting of people who call in and
let's do that.
Do that on the
A meetup sounds fun.
A meetup? A Nancy Pearl meetup where people have to at least have a few paragraphs memorized?
Oh, no.
Was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
What about the first sentence?
First sentence? Come on.
Well, let's have a meetup. I want to meet these people. I love Cryptonomicon.
Okay. Right. We'll do that, but I think they have to have at least a paragraph. Bromeliad by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, that isn't the one I would memorize by Terry Pratchett.
What would you memorize by Terry Pratchett?
I would memorize one of the Discworld Night Watch ones, like Going Postal or Thud.
All right. There's some books. Marcy Soman?
I can't memorize it.
Memorize some phone numbers.
I'm 543-9595. You probably have that committed to memory. We are in the second hour, the waning 22 minutes of weekday, and we would like to raise $2,160 more by 11 a.m. to meet our $11,000 goal. You may recall when last I appeared, we were circling like hawks above this $1,000 challenge from members of our broadcaster circle, challenging 10 people to call 543-9595 and pledge $100 each, and the board would match those pledges dollar for dollar. We have 3 more opportunities, so if you have not yet called, Memorize this phone number, 1-866-NPR-KUOW, 1-866-677-5869, and make a pledge of support and help us get the challenge. And by the way, Broadcaster Circle, in case you wonder when we start throwing that word out, a Broadcaster Circle is somebody who likes the station and can afford to pledge $1,000 or more, and maybe that is you, and we welcome you to call as well. Anytime, 543-9595.
Do not delay. We need to hear from you right now. This is a great time to step up and be one of the early birds to pledge your support to public radio at 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. I almost gave the other number. That's for later.
Susan just emailed who heard the recording that I had of Alice in Wonderland by the great Cyril Richard. You're right. That's who it was. And Susan, my mother threw it away because she doesn't like to save things. I am a hoarder. So there you have it. We want you to think about the value, whether it's books, hearing from Al Gore, a book that maybe could change your life or change the future. You heard news from Olympia, a preview. You heard about development in South Lake Union. That's just today, one day of weekday. This is a show that's dedicated to expanding the headlines, to giving you a sense of why things are the way they are, some context for public affairs, for culture. And if you value it, we're asking you to pay for it today with your pledge of support, 1-866-677-5869 or 206-543-9595. We have two more opportunities. We can't get this $1,000 challenge. If you listen to Nancy Pearl every month, I challenge you to call.
My brother has begun a project to memorize Finnegan's Wake.
Oh, wow.
He plans to take 17 years to do this and perform chunks as he goes along. He's already well into part one. Wow. For my part, I'd have to say the Methodist hymnal because I'm already partway there. That's from Karen.
Wow. You know, I can't. I hope that this brother's young because I really don't have. The memory cells are not what they used
to
be.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, it's hard. So
impressive.
So start memorizing now. But before you do, before you crack the spine of the book that you're going to memorize or before you pick up the tablet that you've loaded all your books into, we want you to memorize this number, $2,060, because that is how much we need to raise by 11 a.m. And we get there one pledge at a time.
So two more folks at pledge $100, we can get this additional $1,000 from the Broadcaster Circle.
Woo.
But that only gets us partway there. We need to hear from you, 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. Put a dollar value, if you need to the great information that Nancy Pearl has given us over many years of being a reader and a person who shares reading. Put a dollar value to what a meetup would be with Nancy Pearl.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah, we'll
I think we need to think about that in a serious way.
I think so, too.
All right. But right now, the serious thing for you to do is show your support to public radio. 206-543-9595.
Or swoop on in long onto the computer keys at your whatever kind of, you know, you can use your phone these days, KUOW.org. There's no excuse for not pledging right now. Readers, we salute you and we invite you. And then we're going to think about this meetup because it's a great idea, but we need your pledge first. 543-9595, and thanks.
Thank you very much. Don't wait. In a few moments, the books that have motivated you to take action.
That is just a moment away. It's 52 degrees in Seattle with a predicted high today of 63, and the forecast calls for lots of sun.
Support for KUOW comes from Seattle Cancer Care Alliance's new Proton Therapy Center, a partnership with ProCure Treatment Centers. SCCA's new Proton Therapy Center allows doctors to precisely target cancerous tumors while minimizing effects on surrounding tissue. More at sccaprotontherapy.com.
I'm Bernard Ouellette. It's 1043 KUOW 94.9 Seattle.
Judith sent this email in just to wrap up that last segment, Nancy Pearl. Our son loved listening to the unabridged stories of Winnie the Pooh, put out by Bother Productions with Peter Someone, doing the readings with great voices. Our son learned so many of the stories by heart and in voice, he put a stand out by our house and would recite a story for 25 cents. The catch was, these stories are long, and people weren't prepared to stand around for 29 minutes or so. This made him really sad and frustrated. By the way, he was 5 at the time and retains his ability to memorize easily.
Wow.
Very cool. Well, there's a book that prompted somebody to take action.
Right.
He listened to the stories. He read the stories probably, too. And then his action was to
to share his stories.
I think that's great.
Entrepreneurially.
Well, you know, we have those little free libraries. Many people have them in front of their houses now. And, well, not enough. I think they're fabulous. I love walking and running into a little free library. And I actually found a book Friday when I was out walking. But why don't we have like little free declaimers? People could, you know, you could go to different houses and there could be different people. Even if they did just do the first paragraph, what a great afternoon.
That's great. I love that.
I mean, that would be a terrific thing to do.
To declaim.
To declaim.
The one book that influenced my life was Tom Dooley's The Night They Burned the Mountain. Mary writes, the book started my investigation into Dr. Dooley. He became my hero. Unfortunately, he died shortly after I read the book. I also read Promises to Keep and Before I Sleep after his death. I became focused on working with charities that helped get medical services and housing for those who had none, especially homeless women and their children. For most of my life, I could only support those groups with money, as I was always on the road with my job. Now, no longer on the road, I sit on a board of such a charity. I was 13 years old when he died, and looking back, I believe, reading about him and his work, I found my humanity and learned compassion. Wow. Oh, in a nutshell, wow. Why a book makes you take action. Wow.
Did you commission that?
No, but that's wonderful. That's the kind of folks who listen, and that's why we have the kind of great listeners we have. So what book spurred you to action? 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. That's the number to call to talk to us. The other number to call to pledge your support, to spur you to action, is 206-543-9595 or 1-866-677-5869. I don't know that I have an answer for it, Nancy Pearl. Do you have an answer for a book that spurred you to action? Surely can't top that one.
No, I don't. That would be very hard to top because that's so direct and also because she talks about the different ways you can support an organization with your time, which she can do now by serving on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a hard one. But, you know, there are so many books that sort of prompt us one way or another, give us direction. I mean, I could think of many books that, gave me a feeling one way or the other, set me on a course, but prompted me to action so strongly. That's a tough one. Do you have a book like that, a book that you read and you put it down and said, all right, I'm moving forward in this direction? If you do, like Mary, email us weekday@kuow.org. Share your story. Give us a call at 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Books that spur you to action, that they're hard because they're ever present. They're always moving us one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, the two books I was thinking of, they couldn't move you. Well, maybe they could. I mean, one was Lawrence Wright's "The Looming Tower" about Al Qaeda and that whole period, which I think is the defining book of that. It's a fabulous book. And then I was thinking of Peter Moss's "Love Thy Neighbor: A Story of War" about the Bosnian War. And both of those just had this huge influence on my thinking, but they didn't. I can't say they spurred me to action in that way that the person who wrote that wonderful email.
Perhaps it's something that comes because you already have that inclination. You're already moving in that direction. Because she was 13 years old, she said, at the time when she did that.
Be interesting to know how she picked that book up, that first Tom
Dooley
book.
Yeah, how did
she
pick that book up?
You know,
Tom Dooley.
Did somebody give it to her? Or
books that spur you to action. 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Or you can email us, weekday@kuow.org. And, of course, you get it. You know, we spur you to action to pledge your support to public radio. That's tone.
Reading the Mary Stoltz books when I was a teenager, I just went back and reread some of them, and I saw how much she had influenced both my writing and wanting to be, the voice that I have when I write.
Really?
Was so influenced by those books. And, of course,
Mary Stoltz.
Uh-huh, S-T-O-L-Z.
She wrote
teen novels for teen girls that were written in a lot of stream of consciousness. If you can imagine. So they weren't very popular, I don't think. Her children's books, her books for younger kids were much more popular, and she was a Newbery Honor winner. But those teenage books they haven't dated. I mean, you don't get a whiff of, oh, the 60s when you read them. They're just so wonderful.
Oh, that's nice.
And I just saw from that, I mean, I think that helped me want to be a writer. I mean, I think I always wanted to be a writer, but that gave me a kind of a vision of what you could be.
Huh. Nice. That's spurring you a whole lifestyle,
yeah,
a whole way of thinking about life.
Right.
Cindy, how are you?
Pretty good. And my thoughts are actually similar about my whole way of life. I remember reading as a young teen, maybe not even a teen, Swiss Family Robinson.
Uh-huh.
And how it allowed me to think outside the suburban box where I grew up, and maybe I wanted a house in a tree or on an island or exploring. I mean, it allowed me to think outside the box of suburbia. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Did you end up living in a tree?
I live in West Seattle. That's kind of like a tree up there. I do live at the top of a hill in West Seattle with a big tree next to my house, but I'm not in the tree yet.
That's very good. Cindy, thanks. I like that. Thanks a lot. We're asking you about books that spurred you to action of one form or another. Katie's in West Seattle. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
What spurred you?
Say Barbara Kingsolver's Animal Vegetable Miracle.
Oh yeah, that's a good one for spurring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It just, you know, it wasn't something I wasn't doing already, but it just reinforced wanting to grow and eat our own food more on a bigger scale.
Did you expand your garden, or just start shopping even more with a focus on local?
More expanded the garden.
That's great.
That's great.
Mason bees and. Yeah.
And then did you hand that book to somebody else?
I did, actually.
Who did you hand?
I recommended it many, many times. It's a great read.
And if people come back to you and told you it affected their life going forward?
I don't think so. Although what I really like is that in addition to describing her year of eating what she and her family grew together, there are recipes for each month of what was ripe at that time in that month. And then her husband, and the recipes were, that section was written by her daughter. And then her husband wrote sidebars about the industry, the agribusiness and the research on, you know, high fructose corn syrup and the impact of that over time on not only American agribusiness, but also on American health or the lack thereof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very interesting.
I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yeah.
you. So books that spurred you to action. Email us with a story, weekday@kuow.org. Carol and Kenmore,
Hi.
How are you? So what happened with the book you were thinking of?
The Essential Roomie. Actually, it spurred me to inaction, in a good way, though, because I have too many negative thoughts and too many negative habits. It helped me to not do those so much, to take a look, realize that the world isn't out to get me and those kinds of things. Rumi's about love, R-U-M-I.
Yeah, how long ago did you read it? How long has it been spurring your shift?
Actually, it's only been in the last 6 months.
Wow. Came on it and it helped, huh?
Oh, it's wonderful. It just makes me feel so much better about everything. And then now that I'm thinking about it really quick, Tom Sawyer, when I was a kid, Tom Sawyer allowed me to be adventurous. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's
very
great.
Nice. Hey, thanks for that. I appreciate that.
That's interesting. Tom Sawyer, Adventure, the Robinson Crusoe, those are both ways of getting out of the kind of life that many people have grown up with.
So just as a book to spur you mm-hmm. to reshape your thinking. Judith writes, I began reading Gerald Durrell's amazing books when I was in junior high school. They are a large part of why I went on to co-found a wildlife rehabilitation center. My favorites are his My Family and Other Animals, Birds, Beasts, and Relatives, The Baffet Beagles. I even go to Jersey and the Channel Islands, and I even got to go to Jersey and the Channel Islands
and meet Gerald in the late 70s. His books are incredibly fun and very beautiful. Spurred her to action on many levels.
That's wonderful.
That's neat. And then Christina said Pilgrim at Tinker Creek by Annie Dillard. But I don't know why it inspired her to spurred her to action. But her
That would be a good one to memorize, too, actually.
That would be good. Christina's Chaos Studios. So perhaps it gave her a sense of nature and the chaos surrounding it. The Disinherited, Journal of a Palestinian Exile by Fawaz Turki. I was riveted by this powerful memoir of a refugee life, Lena writes, and the eloquent, clear, and passionately argued question of Palestine. I grew up with the Palestine-Israeli. I grew up with the Palestine-Israeli conflict. And these books and Edward Said's Question of Palestine, I see I read that wrong, I'm sorry, moved me from emotion to action, gave me language and a compass, put me on a path of social justice work and writing. The Ugly American helped inspire me to join the Peace Corps in the 60s, Tom writes. How do you like
neat.
That?
I love it. That's great.
Graham Greene?
No. Burdick.
Burdick.
And Burdick
the Ugly
and
American.
Somebody.
We had to read that in school.
You did?
Mm-hmm. The Ugly American in high school.
Was it a
novel? At Oak Park High School, they were pretty far ahead of the of the time.
Yep.
Was that a novel, The Ugly American?
Yeah.
I can't remember it. A book that spurred me, Jan writes, I read Cheaper by the Dozen by Galbraith. It was a contributing factor to me becoming an engineer. His time motion studies, especially with respect to bricklaying, still comes to mind. I often think of this book when I see inefficiency. Not sure how old I was, maybe 13. I recently bought it at a used bookstore to reread it. That's from Jan.
That's great.
Oh, that's a great book. All right, one more. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. P writes, but my lawyer told me not to say why, where, and when. And then Megan writes, is there a Robinson Crusoe-type book with a female protagonist?
That's a question for you.
That's a question for you.
Oh, I'm thinking.
All right, okay. You think.
And I'm going to tell you why you should call 543-9595 while you think about that, Nancy. You've been listening to Weekday for the last 1 hour and 56 minutes, and our goal this first day of the Spring Pledge Drive is to raise $11,000. We are $267 shy. I know that you've been waiting for the time to help Weekday meet the goal. This is it. You can call 206-543-9595. You can call toll-free 1-866-677-5869. You can pledge online at kuow.org. Nancy Pearl comes in once a month or so, sometimes more than that, and talks about books,
we drag her
reading.
In when
we drag her in whenever we can because you love reading. You love hearing about new books. You love the lists that we compile. So readers of the world or writers of the world, we're asking you right now, what's the value of this show? Think about that, what you can afford, and make that pledge now, 206-543-9595. I'm not sure if there's a book that's called Public Radio Pledge Drive Spur to Action, but we're asking you to take that act, that phone dialing act, that helps ensure that public radio is going to be here for another 6 months till the next pledge drive.
Well, you know, what you're telling me is that this is the moment. We tell people that you can make
this
a difference.
It.
This is the moment. We have this small goal of $11,000, and we need $267 more dollars. So your phone call, pledging at $250 level, or two of you at $150 level, you can help us reach that goal in the next 2.5 minutes.
I'd like to thank the Broadcaster Circle members who put up the $1,000 challenge, which we met. We are, $117 away from our goal. I know somebody's been waiting for that odd number to pledge. $117. This is it. Make that pledge.
And keep us going on the first day of a pledge drive. We have an overall goal we have to reach. We get there one phone call at a time when you recognize that we are talking to you and
you.
We need your support of public radio. Jennifer Niven writes books about real-life adventurers. For her latest book, she focused on the female Robinson Crusoe of the early 1920s, 23-year-old Ada Blackjack, the unlikely hero of an arduous expedition into the far north, uninhabited Wrangel Island for the purpose of claiming the island for Great Britain.
Okay, so the name of the author for Megan?
Jennifer Niven.
Niven, N-I-V-E-N,
and
Megan.
Ada Blackjack.
Okay, so
nonfiction.
That advice alone is worth a $117 pledge at 206-543-9595. Normally, you get Nancy Pearl's suggestions free of charge. But today we're putting a dollar value on those books, those reading experiences. And I use them as well. I'm always asking Nancy, should I read this? Should I read this? We're asking if you love KUOW-FM Seattle, KUOW-Tumwater, KQOW-Bellingham, and Digital HD Services, that you make a pledge at 206-543-9595. Megan Samuels says Foe is a book like Robinson Crusoe with a woman.
Oh, really?
I don't.
Foe, F-O-E, foe?
Foe.
All right.
You are my foe. But you're not our foe. You're our friends. And we're asking you because we've had an avian metaphor theme this 2 hour weekday. We're asking you to fly on over to your telephone, take wing, and help us meet this goal. 206-543-9595. $117. It's all that stands between us. It's like the little fledging on the nest. Megan, who wanted to know about Robinson Crusoe, is going to pledge $117. So, Megan, if you're online, go to KUOW.org and make that pledge and help us meet this goal. It's business, sort of, that's the bottom line here.
J.M. Coetzee wrote that book.
J.M. Coetzee. And we have made the goal. Yay!
Hey.
But don't stop, because we're not at the end of the pledge.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.